Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Hey, welcome to the fastest half hour radio here at Good Fight Radio Show, where we learn to discern the difference between good and evil, light and darkness, and discover God's will for our lives. What we want to talk about in this show is the nuclear threat that hangs over our country and many other countries, with the recent threats from North Korea, Kim Jong-un threatening mass destruction, thermonuclear war. He's unsettled much of not only his region, but all the way across the world. Here in the United States, there's some legitimate concerns because some of our leaders of our nation have talked about this possibly, potentially beginning an accidental nuclear war, as it's been called. We have various allies over in that region that we have to protect, Japan and South Korea, which obviously South Korea is right next to North Korea. They've been rattling their sabers for a while, North Korea, but now they've actually put a missile or more in launching position, and they've ratcheted up the rhetoric quite a bit lately. Now, it's interesting when we think about this because the Bible actually warns about an incredible conflagration of fire in the end. The scriptures actually warn about nations turning their weapons upon one another. And it's interesting, when Jesus was asked about the end of the age, when his disciples asked him, when would these things be in reference to the destruction of the temple, which happened about almost 40 years after Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead, when would they be? Because Jesus said that would take place, that not one stone would be standing on another, and that's exactly what took place. They said, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus said very many remarkable things in the Olivet Discourse, which is recorded in Matthew 24 and 25, Mark 13, and Luke 21. But I'm going to read just one verse that pertains to the threat of nuclear war and just the destruction of all flesh upon the planet. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 22, Jesus said, "Except those days should be shortened, there would be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Read that again. Jesus said, "Except that those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." In other words, if Jesus did not return when he's going to return, the world would basically annihilate itself. And it's interesting, when Jesus declared this 2,000 years ago, it would be hard to understand what he was saying. I mean, they were using spears and catapults and javelins and, you know, bow and arrows, things of that nature. It's virtually impossible to kill all human flesh. Yet Jesus was talking about a time as he peered into the future and revealed to us what would take place in the end. Now we see something like that, and it's like a given. Well, of course, we now know that humanity can be destroyed multiple times over through a nuclear warfare. Now, this is quite interesting in light of the rogue nations and world powers getting a hold of nuclear weapons. Iran has been in the news for several years now, is on the cusp of creating nuclear weapons, has talked about wiping Israel off the face of the earth and what have you. Kim Jong-un, he's basically talked about, you know, annihilating California and Texas and different states and cities within the United States just recently. This is interesting because Kim Jong-un was Time Magazine's 2012 Man of the Year. It's just a few months later, you know, now he's, right after he's Man of the Year, he's about ready to annihilate the world, at least he's saying these kinds of things. That was interesting because I thought it was quite strange years ago that in 1938, guess who was the Man of the Year? You may have guessed it, Adolf Hitler. A year later, 1939, he launched into World War II. I think Time Magazine should stop picking men or people of the year. It's interesting as well. The United States is taking Kim Jong-un's threat quite seriously, as is South Korea, who they stated regarding the threat that a strong response in initial combat without any political considerations is what they're considering. Japan is also quite concerned as well. Now, at first, we were told here in the United States that we didn't have to be too concerned because, after all, North Korea doesn't really have nuclear capabilities quite yet. However, a classified Pentagon report just came out, and it was disclosed by a congressman that North Korea is indeed able to arm a ballistic missile with a nuclear warhead. On the heels of that, North Korea delivered a fresh round of rhetoric claiming that they had, quote, powerful striking means on standby. In fact, North Korea briefly raised a mobile missile launcher, which they positioned on the East Coast, only to then lower it, which was believed by many to be a pre-launch test. President Barack Obama said, quote, now is the time for North Korea to end the kind of belligerent approach that they've been taking and to try to lower its temperatures. President added, quote, the United States will take all necessary steps to protect its people to meet our obligations under our alliances in the region, end quote. As a result of the recent threats, you have various nations now not just pointing, you know, previously used conventional weapons toward one another, but nukes at each other again. Now, of course, all these nuclear threats around the world are getting Israel's, you know, dander up because they're concerned about their very existence. In fact, Israel has something that military analysts and military experts have called for years, what they call the Samson Option. It's a very interesting title. The Samson Option is named in respect to what many believe is Israel's deterrent, that they're basically saying, hey, if you attack us, we're going to nuke you. In fact, it's believed that Israel may have a hard time finding out who's actually attacking them, and the idea is that they're going to attack all their enemies around them. For instance, if one of their enemies, and they're surrounded by various Muslim nations, and many of which have tried to destroy them. I was just in Israel recently, and we're in the north, and then you see Lebanon from the north, and you see Syria. There was war going on in Syria, of course, recently. We were there right when the war was going on, just next to their border. Then we were in the south, and there you have, you know, Egypt, and you can see Jordan and Egypt and Saudi Arabia all at once from Israel. So you've seen four nations at the same exact time. Well, all these nations have been enemies of Israel at certain times, and indeed are to this day, but some are more belligerent than others. Of course, further up you have, you know, Iran, and you have various other Muslim nations that seek Israel's destruction. So it's believed that Israel's deal is, hey, if you attack us, you try to attack us from sea or from an unmarked, you know, jet or what have you, you're going down because we're hitting all these different nations. That's what many believe part of the Samson Option is that they'll destroy all the nations around them. And some have spoken of the Samson Option is they'll just wipe out the entire planet. In fact, when you look at it from Israel's perspective, keep in mind that as a people, they almost cease to exist as far as human perspective goes. From God's perspective, God says that the sun and the moon and the stars would cease to exist before he allowed Israel as a people to cease to exist. And that's one of the miracles. That's one of the super signs that God's brought them back to be a nation again. But from a geopolitical perspective, just from a historical perspective, the Jewish people were almost destroyed over and over again throughout Scripture. We see it also after the canon of Scripture is closed. We've seen it with regard to Germany, Hitler, and the Nazis killing 6 million Jews. Not just in Germany, by the way. They went to 20 different nations looking for Jews to kill. They even sought to go into Israel and were fought off by the British. And they were helped by various Muslims. You can go online, you can type in Hitler, Islam, Muslims, and you'll see Muslim alliances and, you know, doing the Nazi salute and what have you with Adolf Hitler. So it was huge concerns. They have huge concerns that the world wants to wipe them out, wants to destroy them. Now, this is interesting when you consider the Samson Option, named after Samson. If you remember the story of Samson in the Scripture, Samson was captured finally by the Philistines. He was given supernatural strength by the Lord. He was in rebellion to God and did not follow the Lord the way he should have, lost his power, but he recommitted himself to the Lord while he was in bondage to the Philistines, and they were making sport with him. They had been mocking him, and he asked to be put between two pillars. Well, Samson, we're told, pushed those two pillars apart. His arms were in the shape of like a cross. He pushed these two pillars apart, and down came the Temple of Dagon upon the Philistines. And the Scriptures tell us that more people were killed in his death by him than in his life. He killed more of his enemies in his death than in his life. Well, the idea there is if Israel's going to go down, if Israel's going to be nuked, Israel's saying, hey, you know what? We're going to nuke all of our enemies around us. And that is a deterrent to keep anybody from thinking, hey, we can nuke them and make them think it's another nation. In the 1973 Yom Kippur War, Arab forces were overwhelming Israeli forces, and the prime minister authorized a nuclear alert and ordered 13 nuclear or atomic bombs to be readied to be dropped from aircraft. In 2002, the Los Angeles Times published an opinion piece by Louisiana State University professor David Perlmutter. And he stated this, quote, Israel has been building nuclear weapons for 30 years. The Jews understand what passive and powerless acceptance of doom has meant for them in the past, and they have insured against it. Masada, That was the place where there was mass suicide by the holdouts who the Romans hadn't captured yet in 70 AD or just after 70. Masada was not an example to follow. It hurt the Romans not a whit. But Samson and Gaza? What would serve the Jew-hating world better in repayment for thousands of years of massacres but a nuclear winter? We have the power to destroy the world, the ultimate justice, end quote. Military historian Martin Van Creveld said this, quote, "We possess several hundred atomic warheads and rockets and can launch them at targets in all directions." He went on to say a little further, "Our armed forces, however, are not the 30th strongest in the world, but rather the second or third. We have the capability to take the world down with us, and I can assure you that that will happen before Israel goes under," end quote. Ron Rosenbaum wrote in his 2012 book, How the End Begins, The Road to a Nuclear World War III, that in the aftermath of a second Holocaust, that Israel's surviving Dolphin-class nuclear missile submarines would retaliate not only against Israel's attackers, but, quote, bring down the pillars of the world, attack Moscow and European capitals, for instance. He goes on to talk about the holy place of Islam, and he goes on to write about the abandonment of proportionality is the essence. And he talks about, well, he's alluding to the Samson option. Stay tuned as we go deeper and see how this fits into the end time biblical scenario of Armageddon. We'll be back in less than 30 seconds.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show. We're back. Hey, we've been talking about the nuclear threat that hangs over the United States and many of our allies with the threats coming out of North Korea from Kim Jong-un, who has been talking about wiping out California, Texas, and starting a thermonuclear war. And, you know, there's many people that are rightfully concerned. We've been talking about that threat, and we've been talking about not only that threat, but the threat from Iran in regard to Ahmadinejad wanting Israel to be wiped off the face of the earth, trying to bring forth nuclear capabilities and what have you. And we found out that, hey, you know, don't worry, North Korea is a ways away. Now we find out that, hey, guess what? A Pentagon report just recently released revealed that, yes, they do have nuclear capabilities, and they're an actual threat. Well, how long will it be before we find out, hey, that's what's going on with Iran, too? And you know, this country waited too long as well. What's interesting, we've been looking at the Samson option, which many military analysts call the nuclear capabilities and the strategic defense, the deterring defense to deter other nations from attacking Israel. They've got the Samson option, many believe, to where they will nuke all the nations around them and actually go into the other, you know, the farthest parts of the planet if they need to with their nukes and their submarines to ensure that they themselves don't cease to exist as a people. Now, as we think about these things, it's absolutely amazing because that we've been talking about these things right now, because I started with a passage where Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 22, that unless those days were shortened, unless Jesus Christ returns, unless those days would be cut short, no flesh on the earth would be saved. Everybody would be wiped out. And I said that prophecy didn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people 2,000 years ago. I know if I was looking at 2,000 years ago when Jesus said it, and I'd be scratching my head, what does he mean by that? But today we know that the world could be destroyed multiple times over. Now, isn't this interesting? Because we also have prophecies that sound a lot like thermonuclear war or neutron bombs and what have you, even in the Old Testament, 2,500 years ago from Zechariah. In fact, Zechariah not only talks about Israel becoming a nation again, but it talks about them becoming a world power. He talks about how the nations of the world would be antagonistic and would surround Israel, which is, he's talking about the days in which we live. Now, Israel's not only become a nation again on May 14th of 1948, but they rose to world power quite quickly. They're the second or third greatest world power on the planet by some analysts. And what's amazing about this is much of the world wants to destroy them. And it says this in Zechariah chapter 12. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the human spirit within a person declares, quote, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem on that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her. The Bible calls this the Battle of Armageddon. It says, on that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. It's interesting. In verse 6, it goes on to say, on that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile. Like a flaming torch among sheaves, they will consume all the surrounding peoples right and left, but Jerusalem will remain intact and in her place. It's interesting. It's talking about not the use of you know, arrows and spears and what have you, which is a typical language for so much of the warfare in the Old Testament, but it's talking about the future. It's talking about fire being used as a deterrent. And it's interesting the way it describes the destruction of the masses, as we'll see in a moment in Zechariah. What's interesting about this is not long after that, we read in verse 10, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one who they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for his firstborn son. This is interesting because they'll look on the one it says that they've pierced. And Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, was crucified by Jews and Gentiles. All, the entire human race, all of our sins fell upon him. And one day in the future, they'll see the one they've pierced, but it'll be after this battle that the Bible describes as Armageddon. What's interesting is when you go on to look at chapter 14, it describes the same war. And it's interesting because you see how the people respond. What takes place when these people are wiped out by fire, not only by Israel, but by their own weapons. In chapter 14, verse 2, the Lord God says, I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile, and the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Then Zechariah 14:12 says this, and this will be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Now this looks like it's tied to verse 13, the very next verse. On that day, people will be stricken by the Lord. But how? With great panic, they will seize each other by the hand and attack one another. In other words, what's going to happen is there's going to be great confusion as the nations surround Israel, surround Jerusalem. They line up in the Valley of Megiddo, also in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, there by Jerusalem. And there they launch their weapons. They seek to destroy Israel. And what happens is a great panic. You see, these nations can't trust each other. And they began to lob their missiles and bombs upon one another. And they began to destroy one another. And what happens? Well, it says in the scripture that their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes. Their tongues shall consume away in their mouths. So what you're talking about is mass people from the different nations standing up while their flesh is actually being vaporized. This is absolutely amazing because 2,500 years ago, when you were to read that from Zechariah, you could have no idea what that would mean. But today, because of our nuclear weapons, our neutron bombs and what have you, this is very easy to visualize. In fact, it's interesting also because in scriptures like Judges 7:22, 1 Samuel 14:20, and 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 23, we see often nations get confused when they attack Israel and they turn their weapons upon one another. But this describes something altogether different than what we see in the Old Testament in regard to past wars. This describes people standing and their flesh being vaporized while they're still standing up. Now, this is interesting because a blast from a thermonuclear warhead can generate heat of 150 million degrees Fahrenheit in 1/1,000,000th of a second. Can you imagine that? Also, we may be talking about neutron bombs here. You see, neutron bombs were designed not to destroy physical things in regard to hard objects like tanks and buildings. They were designed in such a way because they're third generation nukes. They were designed in such a way to where they leave buildings intact, they leave tanks intact, bunkers, the radiation would go through bunkers and just dissolve people. So a neutron bomb is built in such a way where when it explodes, what happens is you don't have the radiation fallout. So they're very popular among certain nations who want to believe they can, you know, keep buildings and tanks and armory intact, but just dissolve people. And we're living in an age when Zechariah chapter 14 could actually come to pass. In fact, before this century, this last century, or should say actually this last, you know, 50 years or so, we didn't have neutron bombs. They were created, I think, around 1970 or thereafter. Nuclear capabilities just, you know, prior to World War II. So we're talking about things that could not have happened and been fulfilled prior to this time period. Now, this is of greater concern because neutron bombs, for instance, only a couple nations had them. Guess who? Israel and the United States. And it was actually invented by a Jewish man named Cohen. And it wasn't until the Clinton-Gore administration that allowed for China to develop them. And now many military analysts believe that they're being developed by various nations. Now, this doesn't mean that this mass vaporization is going to all take place because of this mass nuclear exchange. In fact, when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to destroy the wicked who have brought about the Battle of Armageddon because of the rejection of God, because of their rejection of God's people, their rejection of his moral standards, and they're going to fight against him. And it says in Revelation 17, it talks about 10 nations who give their power to the beast, that's the Antichrist, and they go to make war against the Lamb, that's Christ. And then all the nations join together in that battle. And the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and it says he returns in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about how he'll destroy the Antichrist with the spirit of his mouth and with the brightness of his coming. It'll be so powerful. Such passages should get our attention. When we look at the history of the human race and we see blood and we see that humans are evil, we should realize that we need the Savior. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, God's destroyed the wicked in the past. In 2 Peter 2:6, it says, having reduced to ashes the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, condemned them to destruction, having made them an example to those who afterward would live wickedly. Jude 1:7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar way to these, having given themselves over to whoring and gone after strange flesh, these are set as an example, undergoing judicial punishment of everlasting fire. Luke 17 says this. In Luke 17, Jesus said it would be just like the days of Noah and just like the days of Lot. That's when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. He's referencing how the last days will be. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, we're warned this way. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, speaking about his return, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. And then he goes on to admonish us in light of the fact that everything will be destroyed by fire. Quote, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Brothers and sisters, the only way you can be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him is through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible teaches that man's at war with God, that we are rebels. Jesus said, he that's not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me scatters abroad. Our wicked hearts are in rebellion to God and his moral law. We must recognize that we're sinners. We must bow down and say, God, have mercy on me. Cry out to him. Bow our hearts before him in humility. The Bible says he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. We must recognize that we're sinners and that we're in need of a Savior. And the only Savior is Jesus Christ. There's only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, the name of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So we need to recognize this, because the time is coming when Jesus said all flesh would be destroyed if he would not return first. The great thing is, he said, but for the elect's sake, those days will be cut short. You see, in Matthew 24, right after that, verses 29 through 31, Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation, those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. He talks about hell. He sent forth his angels, and they'll gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Brothers and sisters, something far better than the Samson option is the Jesus option. You see, when Samson went to his death, he killed more people than he had killed in his life, and he was a warrior. Well, he's a picture in contrast of Jesus. You see, Samson was mocked. He was ridiculed by the Gentiles, even as Jesus was. They made sport of him. They made sport of Jesus. I was just at the Via Dolorosa, the place Jesus walked to go be crucified, and you could see the games that the Roman soldiers had etched in the ground. They were playing games with Jesus, dividing his garments as the prophecy said they would. They mocked him as well. But Jesus, in his death, he saved more people than he did in his life prior. You see, Jesus died for our sins. The Bible says he tasted death for everyone. He's a propitiation, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And when he died on the cross, he also defeated his enemies. The principalities and powers were overcome, the scriptures tell us in Colossians chapter 2. And guess what, folks? You need to know this. Yes, the end is coming. The scriptures prophesy it. Man is getting worse and worse, as Jesus said he would. Yes, there's this threat of nuclear war, but you know what? You can have peace right now. You can have peace right now with God. You can know that if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you turn from the broad road that leads to destruction, living life your own way, being your own God, you turn to Jesus Christ and you put your faith in the Messiah. You say, Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And you embrace him as your Lord and Savior. You'll have the free gift of salvation, which is given by grace through faith. And you'll pass from death to life. And then guess what? No matter what happens to you on this planet, even if you were nuked, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You can enjoy eternal peace right now and forevermore. I want to thank you for being with us on the Good Fight Radio Show. We look forward to seeing you next time. God bless you. We pray and hope that you'll keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and your hands on the plow. God bless.
You've been listening to Pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Love life, it comes down to just one thing.